This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Nation, welcome to episode number 14 of your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place TV Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. We've got a fun show for you tonight to talk about a show that many people thought was not fun. In fact, very volatile, very polarizing. And then a little fun, a little surprise for my crew in segment two. But let's bring them in. We have on our last show, we had one half of the core four. Tonight, we have the other half of the core four, which means there'll be a hell of a lot less oxygen. And we have a newbie making his debut. So a lot of fun tonight. Let's bring him in. We'll begin with the guy who came on last, about 30 seconds ago, the Bengal of the Bayou. And he'll be joining me and Dr. G, hopefully on time, for our next episode next week of Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. He will not be talking about 23 or 6. Mr. Andrew Reich.
Oh, I know y'all missed me from the last episode, so I got a lot of catching up to do here.
Yeah, that mean you're going to talk for two shows worth of talking?
Yeah, that's why I don't know why we have these two new guys.
Jordan, you're screwed. All right, speaking of him, let's bring in the other Core 4 member that took the last show off. He's a Place to Be Nation original. By the way, Reich is an awesome guy, and he's going to have more basketball stuff on placetobenation.com throughout the summertime as we talk free agency. And that's pretty much what we'll talk about on the next episode of Extra Point.
Yeah.
This guy's also a Place to Be Nation contributor. He is a PTB original. No reality show tonight. He was on time. Mr. Jordan Duncan.
Much like Eric Bischoff, I am back, better than ever, and friends with Jason Hervey.
And did you bring any lesbians?
Well, we talked about it briefly. But
we did talk about it. Yes. Oh, those lesbians be cool, but no. JD, good to have you back on as always.
Thanks.
Now, to the two pinch hitters tonight. One guy who is, for the first time in a while, not the newest newbie. For the first time, he is on for back-to-back shows. He offered a pinch hit at the last minute because he's the best. He is my original co-host of the Main Event back on old Place to Be, old GetThePointRadio.com. Mr. Johnny Reckless.
What's going on, guys?
Do you have your Thanks Steen Thanks t-shirt? Or is yours Thanks Paul Thanks? John, always a pleasure to have you on. Finally,
pleasure to be back.
We have our debut guy. I like this, all these debuts. He is now a Place to Be Nation contributor. He gives us our weekly walk around the web. I first noticed him a few years ago when he was on Scott Keith's old blog. Now it's somebody else's blog. And I had the privilege of finally meeting him face-to-face this past weekend at the annual Rosero Outdoor Extravaganza. And he only lives five towns away. I can't, for the first time in history, there's more than two people from the state of Connecticut on a podcast here in Place to Be Nation Network. I don't know if I should totally admit that, but I'd like to introduce everyone to the Glenn Butler. Glenn, welcome to the Main Event.
The Glenn Butler, you have that exactly right, Scott. I'm glad to be here.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, man. All right, guys. I got a fun show for us tonight. Segment one, we're probably going to spend the entire 45 minutes of the first segment talking about Battleground, which, of course, took place this past Sunday at the Tampa Bay Times Forum in Tampa, Florida. We did have some Place to Be Nation representation. My ex-coworker and Place to Be Nation member Steve Gross was at the show, so the Place to Be Nation run continues for 2014. We'll have to see what happens for SummerSlam. Somebody like Grant Owens or Todd Weber, one of those West Coast guys. I wonder if Claire's going, one of those dudes, see if they're going to SummerSlam. And as we, if anybody had a chance to listen to the reaction podcast that came up on Monday that they recorded, Will and the guys recorded afterwards, let's just say that the show was slightly polarizing.
They loved it.
Very polarizing for a lot of fans. I mean, I've heard some, like, WrestleMania 9, King of the Ring 95 vitriol about this show. And that says a lot because don't give that away easily. Then segment two, I have a fun treat for us that I'm going to grill you guys on. I'm not going to mention it till this. I want to mention it now, but I'm going to hold off till the second.
We're going to kill Andrew Reich.
It's going to be one of those iron circle carve matches or whatever that shit that fucking Shamrock and what's
the junkyard match? Oh, I thought you meant the junkyard match from WCW.
Everything at WCW was a junkyard. No. All right. So we'll do that in segment two. All right. Let me go around the horn and just general observations of the show. We'll nitpick in a minute. JD, I'll start with you.
Okay.
When the show ended, credits went up.
Yeah.
Your just immediate overall thoughts on the show as a whole.
I was bored more than I was mad. It just was very, big shock. You know, nothing surprising. Not that they should do anything surprising. I know a lot of the sentiment has kind of been, well, what do you expect for a July show? They're just putting things in place for SummerSlam, and I get that mentality. But that doesn't mean that it's not boring. I think I wasn't outraged so much as I was sleepy more than anything.
Okay. So. Glennie Bunn. What'd you think? Right when the show ended, what were your thoughts?
I was actually pretty pleased with it. It had two matches that I thought delivered, one more than the other, and a couple that didn't quite get there and were stopped by some weird things. But overall, I was happy.
There's thunderstorms rumbling outside, so John and Glenn, just warning you what's coming up 95. Let's just hope there's no power problems. Johnny.
Me and Reese will do this alone.
you'll certainly fill up the you'll certainly fill up the oxygen, that's for sure. All right, Reckless.
We're the kids that can hang.
Like there's no storms where you live. Reckless, what'd you think when it went off the air?
I wasn't too impressed, but then again, not to repeat a point that was already made, but my whole reaction to the show in general is it's a July pay-per-view. I mean, they've been on a strong run of pay-per-views lately, so this one just felt a little flat. So, I mean, I wasn't angry. It was kind of just a placeholder, which I kind of expected.
Okay. Reesh?
Just basically in the same line what Dr. G said. Oh, Dr. G. Oh, my God. Johnny Reckless and JD.
What are you wearing? I was about to say Julio Cruz. Did he play for the Astros? Victor Cruz, I was going to say. Like a Victor Cruz jersey right now?
What are the Houston Astros?
They have a better record than the Texas Rangers, that's for sure.
What are the Texas Rangers? You mean that great movie starring James Vanderbeek?
God, is there any great movie starring? Well, except Varsity Blues, that rock. All right, go ahead, finish your point.
Overall, I didn't hate the show. I didn't despise it. I just thought overall it was just pretty forgettable, you know, like everybody pretty much expected. Money in the Bank, they put a lot into that show because they knew that they were going to kind of reset a couple storylines, and then Battleground was just going to be a continuation. That's exactly what it was. The only thing that really stood out to me, and maybe we'll talk about it a little later, is that the opening match, the tag titles match, was phenomenal. That was really the only thing that I took away from it, outside of maybe Dolph Ziggler getting his chance taken away from winning an Intercontinental title in a match that would have actually meant something to him. Outside of that, main event was okay. Jericho was okay. It wasn't a bad show. Wasn't an awful show where I'm just going to like scream at him on top of a mountain, but I don't really, it was just kind of a no who cares type of show.
Mm-hmm.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Glenn, you said two matches delivered. I'm guessing one was a tag title. What was the other one that you really liked?
I wouldn't say really liked, but I thought the main event was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, that wasn't too bad. I didn't think it was bad.
I didn't either. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's run down the card, the results quickly. I have to say, I made a jackass pick. And I've made a few stinkers in my life in terms of picking matches, but boy, did I pick a stinker. I think it was just my complete and utter dislike of Bo Dallas that made me pick just such an utterly retarded choice of Fandango to win the Battle Royal. Number
was
one,
he was not even in it
because he ended up losing to Adam Rose, who might even be lower on the card.
Fandango is jobbing to two girls
in 81 seconds. So yeah. I look like a moron there, but that was on the pre-show, and then Cameron beat Naomi on the pre-show as well. And that's just to further that feud, because Naomi should just snap her in half because Cameron has no business being anywhere near a ring. Or
how dare she dress like a schoolgirl?
Yeah.
How dare she?
Alicia Fox and Melina, they're two, her two favorites, hey, never dressed as a schoolgirl.
But look at the
for starters.
But look at the bright side. The YouTube hits in Japan went way up when that show.
And then TNA is going to steal the idea for Bound for Glory, and all the knockouts will dress as schoolgirls.
All the wrestlers will dress like
schoolgirls.
All the wrestlers.
Yes, Abyss in a skirt. Oh, God.
Can't wait for Lashley.
Yeah. Lashley. Oh, God. All right. We'll talk about the opener. The Usos retain their World Tag Team Championships with a win over in the 2 out of 3 falls. Rish, were you surprised by that? Not the quality of the show, the quality of the match, because I think we all know, the chemistry between these two teams is incredible. They've wrestled so many times. I mean, so many times, almost like house show circuit in the '80s. I feel like whether it's singles splits or continuous tag matches over the last month and a half, they've been on fire. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised they did not pull the trigger and finally give Harper and Rowan the titles?
When we got to the last 5 minutes of that match, I was almost convinced Harper and Rowan were going to win because they had built that match and booked it at a point where, you know, it had gone well over 20 minutes, and you're thinking, well, this is more of a valiant effort type of thing where if it's a time for the champions to drop the belts, now is a great time. There was this one moment, I think, where one of the Usos hit the splash, it didn't get the count, and then they go another couple minutes, and then there was this moment where it was a really, really cool, like, All Japan type of thing, strong style, where Luke Harper took a super kick, and then he no-sold it and gave him a discus lariat, and I'm thinking, oh, that's gotta be it. When he didn't get that pinfall, I was like, okay, I guess the Usos are going to retain, but there was a point in the last 3 minutes of that match where I just did not know, because they had emptied out everything in that match on both sides, and you just didn't know how it was going to finish. It's almost like they didn't know really what to do with it, but I was convinced that the Usos were going to drop the belts in the last 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Reckless, what did you think? I'm not personally shocked the Usos won, because obviously, as everyone here on Main Event knows, there's a team I have on my eye that are easily in line to be the next heel tag team champions. But was that your thought going in, Johnny? Or did you really think that the Harper and Rowan were going to win here?
Well, I really thought Harper and Rowan had a serious chance of walking out champions. And, I mean, obviously, playing favorites, I really would have put it on them. But that's just me being playing favorites there. Mm-hmm. It doesn't necessarily surprise me, because whoever dethrones the Usos now is going to look like a monster team.
Mm-hmm.
They've really built the Uso title reign into, I don't know, I wouldn't say one of the greatest, but a pretty good run, you know?
Right. Mm. Yeah, I had a feeling maybe that they would win it and then maybe a quick turn back, but I might as well just say it. I think the throne is being, as the next heel badass tag team, I still say it, throne is being polished for the Ascension. It's just my opinion. They're just too good to... It's getting to the point now where, are there even any actual tag teams in NXT right now? Obviously, they're focusing on plenty of singles guys,
the
both main event.
The Vaudevillains, and then the Legionnaires.
The Legionnaires is those two French idiots, right? No one's gonna take them seriously. We already did that.
Enzo Amore.
Who are those dudes? Why can't I think of their names?
La Resistance.
La Rez. We already had La Rez. We don't need another.
Don't say that. He is a French sympathizer.
The French sympathizer? No. And who are the Vaudevillains? Is that
oh my God, hold on.
Is that
that's the actor, the singer, the one who likes to
Aiden
sing.
English.
Aiden English.
That's
JR's favorite guy. He likes Aiden English. Who's the other guy?
The other guy's the star of the team, and I can't even think of his name.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he's a good Gotch, huh? Danny Gotch.
Gotch. Yeah,
Danny Gotch. Okay.
Good technical wrestler.
Well, neither of them are better than the Ascension.
To be honest with you, he's a little bit like Jervis Cottonbelly.
The Jervis? No, I'm only sorry. I think the Ascension are the team that's gonna dethrone the Usos.
You know, you know what I thought was weird about this match, though, is I did think that the Wyatts were going to win because, and this reminded me of the Cena Bray Wyatt feud. They booked a match that seemed designed to where the faces could lose and still look good. You do 2 out of 3 falls, you give them a win and still have them lose the title. So that's kind of what surprised me is, you know, the same thing with the Cena Wyatt was it the last man standing match that we all kind of thought, well, Wyatt will win this one because it's a way to make your face look good and still lose. That's what surprised me about it. The other thing that kind of surprised me was, and I thought maybe it was something, but they didn't announce it, they didn't talk it, is that Luke Harper took both falls. I thought that was kind of odd. I would rather Rowan pinned both.
Yeah, times. I concur with that. I thought that was kind of odd, too. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Huh. So there you go. So the Usos retain the straps and move on. All right. The next match was the Divas Championship match where AJ, the champion, took on Paige. I guess we've just been waiting for a Paige heel turn simply because the matches are better. And I know, you know, JD makes fun of, well, I don't think he's actually making fun. I think he thinks he's speaking the truth. That the talent in the Divas
connection
is sorely lacking. And she's had decent opponents. I wouldn't say great opponents, on particularly on pay-per-view, since she won the title after WrestleMania. But, I mean, easily, guys. I mean, Glenn, easily Paige's best match.
So far, yeah, totally. This was one that I went in really wanting to like because you mentioned the talent being deficient in the Divas division. That's something that I've talked about a couple of times where they get one diva and make her champion who can have good matches or has a reputation of being able to have good matches, but they don't have anyone to pair her with.
Mm-hmm.
They in years past, they have people like Natty Neidhart, and then they pair her up with Michelle McCool. You know, and so you don't get two people at the same time. I mean, I don't know how many matches Natalya had with Beth Phoenix, say. They were teamed up for a while. But to have this match between Paige and AJ, I was really looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
But it just didn't quite get there. There were some weird botches. There were some weird spots. And I think they really have a better match in them.
Okay. JD, did you go into this match with an open mind?
Yeah. I, for all the diva knocking I do think Paige has talent. I think AJ has talent. I'll kind of refer to the reaction podcast, though. I think where it kind of was hurting is Paige is good in terms of actual wrestling, and she seems to be a little deficient in the character aspect of it. And a lot of this story that they've been doing so far is really reliant on character motives and facial responses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Paige isn't quite there yet. Like Ben, or not Ben, I miss you, Ben. Like Glenn said, there was a couple botch spots that kind of killed the flow of it a little bit. But I do think they have a better match in them. And now that we've got the full heel turn, I think they'll be free to do that style of match where they don't have to do so much storytelling part of it, and just kind of go at it, and I think SummerSlam will be a better match.
Okay, I might have missed this on Monday. Did she end up turning like full heel for this?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah, she destroyed AJ.
Okay,
yanked the hair down, threw her in the into the stand, basically threw right into the barricade, threw her head into the post.
Good.
And then threw her across the announce table, and then did the AJ skip all the way up the announce table.
Nice.
A lot of shrieking in between.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh,
full on heel turn.
Good. She's even hotter now than she was when she was a baby face. All right. So AJ retains the Divas Championship, but we'll see how long she keeps it though. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long she'll keep it. I think it all depends. All right, next up is the first what many consider controversial or polarizing moment of the show. We have my favorite guy right now, my favorite up-and-coming guy, and that is Rusev and his vixen Lana taking on one of my least favorite guys, Jack Swagger, and that's because I was hoping that he wouldn't break Rusev's neck. All right. Let's obviously go around the horn for this because I want everyone's opinion. Historically, Vince McMahon has used current events to push wrestling storylines. There's only one reason why the Iron Sheik was world champion for a month. There's a reason why Sergeant Slaughter main evented WrestleMania 7. So let me start with you, JD. Were you upset that Lana, she didn't obviously directly bring it up, but alluded to the Malaysian crash? Did that bug you?
Honestly, I didn't even notice it. I must have been half paying attention until I read about it afterwards. So no, it didn't really bother me because I totally missed the reference. I don't remember what I was doing. I must have just half been paying attention. I missed it completely.
She said something like everyone's blaming Russia for the current news events or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I read about it afterwards, but in the moment, I wasn't angry or anything because I just missed it.
Mm.
So
okay, Glenn.
No, I didn't really see it as something to be upset about. It might seem different if you're personally involved in it in some way, but to me, it just seemed like using something to get heat for Lana. That didn't really seem to be really pushing it.
Okay. All right. Johnny?
This is wrestling. I mean,
that's what I was just thinking in my head.
Yeah. You know, this type of, angle has been used countless times. I'm really not offended by much. I could see how people could be offended, but I don't think it went that far at all.
Okay. Reesh?
I'm with JD. When she cut the promo, we're so used to hearing all the, you know, all the verbal garbage about, you know, Putin and how America is always blaming Russia for their problems and stuff. She has said it so many times through her rhetoric that when she said anything about current events, it just totally skipped my mind and I didn't even think about it. Mm. I wasn't really offended by it. I mean, if they even meant to do something like that, it barely registered on any kind of scale from most people except for TV critics that were just ready to scorn anybody who said anything about, you know, about Russia or the or anything, but they didn't say anything directly about it, so it didn't bother me. This wasn't nearly as bad as when they had Mohammed Hassan the week after the London bombings. That was way over the line, even though it was a weird coincidence. It wasn't like they did it because of the London bombings. It was just horrible timing. In this case, it was not something where the Putin stuff is going to be, you know, is going to be going forward just to spite everybody about how much of a heel, I guess you could say, politically Putin is now. But he was always a dick, so just make him a bigger
KGB
dick.
Guy. The guy has seen things that I think most people would not sleep over. So I mean, you know,
the Lana stuff. It didn't register with me at all.
Okay, I didn't really care either, to be honest with you. Didn't faze me. The match.
That offended me more than the promo.
Yeah, there was something about it slightly off.
I didn't really watch the match.
What was it about, Johnny? Let me ask you first. Was there something off? Was it Rusev? Was it the way the pacing was? I don't want to say the match sucked, but and with Swagger, I only expect so much anyway. Was it about what you expected, or was it a disappointment? For me, the match didn't end, and I went, "Wow, Rusev blows." I didn't think that at all. I thought, "All right, there's more to be done. There's more here. I think we need to explore it further with somebody else." That was my thoughts when the match ended. What about you?
Well, no, I don't think the match sucked, but again, I didn't expect a blowaway match anyway. The thing is, I kind of had a feeling that this was not going to be a clean finish for the simple fact that this is the first time they got Swagger any traction in a while.
Right.
You know, the guy's actually getting somewhat of a reaction. So I think they want to push this a little further because, you can't have Rusev just keep mowing through everybody.
Right.
If you could extend this one or two more shows, it's fine because this is kind of it for Swagger. I don't think he's going to go any further up the card.
No, I don't think so either. JD, is this precipitate a flag match at SummerSlam?
Yeah, honestly, I thought that they should have done that when they came out and they put the flags in flagpoles. You know, they should have done it here.
Right.
I don't know what it is. I have unrealistically high expectations for Jack Swagger. He's always one of those guys that I think is going to have a good match and then just never does. You know, like I'm always like, oh, yeah, he's fine. But I couldn't point to a match of his that's proof of that, you know.
Right.
I think part of what it is, and I mentioned this somewhere, I don't know, maybe just in our Facebook chat. I think part of what hurt this match is Jack Swagger has terrible offense for a babyface.
Yeah, he does.
You know,
that's a good point.
If he's going to be babyface going forward, he's going to have to get some new stuff because it didn't really click at all. I think the crowd digs screaming "We the People," but then they don't really dig him. You know.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I think, and everyone's like, "Well, look, they're chanting 'We the People.'" They chant that when they're heels.
Yeah.
I don't. We're all robots, so I don't even. In that aspect, I don't take much for the fans in terms of that because we chant.
They do the Fandango dance. Is anybody cheering Fandango?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then the match starts and nobody cares. Everybody goes and takes a piss. I think the disappointing thing for me was the ending. I was expecting something more definitive. But if we're going to get a cool flag match, anything's better than Nikolai Volkoff and Corporal Kirshner. So I think that's pretty safe to say. So
if it leads to something on a pole, I am all for it.
You should have just not come on and stayed late. All right. I think here's the one thing that really pissed people off, and that's, of course, the non-match that occurred between Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. But again, this doesn't bother me either. How long have we been watching wrestling, guys? We're bound to have this happen every 15 pay-per-views, some kind of non-match.
It's right there in the bottom, card subject to change.
To change. So, all right, so they brawled, there was no match. Move on. All right, so you're a little pissed. Whatever. It's the network. It's freaking free. Get over it. That's why I don't get pissed off at things like this anymore. I realized it, and we were talking about it down at JR's house when we were getting ready to watch it. I said, we were talking about it. It's like, you know, it's free. So what can you really get pissed off about?
Well,
like,
how would you feel? How would
you feel, close though, the window and you move on.
How would you feel, though, if you were at the show? I mean, you probably bought your ticket before that match was announced, but still going in and thinking you're going to see that. I think that if you were a part of the live crowd, you got a very valid complaint.
I half agree with you, but then again, I'm going to go back to the same point that I said before. If you've been a wrestling fan for 10 years, all right, and you've never experienced it before. We haven't had many non-matches in a long time.
Sure.
Yes, but if it's one of us five guys, or anybody in Place to Be Nation who's been watching wrestling since the late 80s or mid, whatever, it's bound to happen once in a while, and you're like, ah, fuck, that sucked, and then you move on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that I thought there was enough of a brawl to whet your appetite. That's
what I wanted to say, exactly.
And then you get a match at SummerSlam. I think the whole point was, is anybody nervous about anybody getting put over or getting knocked down? Does a loss hurt anybody? I think a loss would have hurt either of them. Be honest with you, I would have been happy if they didn't schedule the match, because I think a loss would have hurt either of them, both of them, because I think they're still cultivating. So I was actually happy because I didn't want the match to happen yet anyway. I would like to have had the match before the briefcase. That would have been kind of cool. The only way that I would have enjoyed an ending, even though I fucking hate the guy now, is if Kane came out and then we have Kane Ambrose at SummerSlam, which I have a feeling that's what we're going to have.
Demon Kane!
I'm sorry. The Demon Kane? So
Scott, basically you're not taking the position that we as fans should start stealing pay-per-views.
Right.
Because I listened to a podcast where they suggested that's what we ought to be doing now.
Stealing pay.
But Scott, you made a great point, and I wanted to add to that. I don't get bothered by non-matches if you at least get some sort of a visual brawl when you're there live, or whether you watch on television. The ones, if you're live, that are just unbearable, even if it's a match, are the ones where they're all backstage.
Now, JD, what about if, before you finish your point, Reesh, what happened at SummerSlam 90 when nobody got Sherry and Sapphire? There wasn't even a brawl.
Yeah, that's true. And
I'm still looking for her.
One of the darkest days in Federation history. Wait, the Sapphire?
Yeah, but that, of course, got the whole, no, no, Dust, but we're all still looking for it. And then he gets hit by a bus. So, all right, Reese, finish your point.
Well, that was basically it. That, okay. The worst one, if it's live and you don't get a match and you get some sort of a promo or a crazy fracas where they kind of brawl with each other until it gets broken up, I think I'm all right with that because at least you get something. I remember when Shawn wrestled The Undertaker in Ground Zero. It wasn't even a match. It was just a big, fat brawl that ended the show. But it was so memorably booked that you really didn't feel cheated by not having a match. You know,
right.
I feel cheated if I was live and they had like a boiler room brawl and you saw in like 95% of the match is fucking backstage. Those are the matches that I can't stand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to say too, I think I might enjoy Dean Ambrose brawls more than Dean Ambrose matches at this point. So,
and just
not that his matches are bad, but he's awesome in that.
And role. Just as a tease on Friday Night SmackDown, supposedly Ambrose and Cesaro are going to have a hardcore type of match.
Oh, really?
With chairs and everything.
Glenn, do you think, as a singles guy, Ambrose is missing something? Singles wrestler? Wrestler, not character or anything like that. As an in-ring guy right now, as in babyface form, is Ambrose missing something?
As a wrestler, maybe. But he has so much of the rest of it that he is red hot right now.
Right.
And I don't necessarily agree that a loss would have hurt either of them. A clean loss would have.
Sure. Okay. Good point.
And the whole storyline is built up to prevent clean finishes anyway.
True. True. Johnny, what do you think? Do you think Ambrose is it what specific aspect of Ambrose's set do you think he's missing? Is there something missing? Maybe in your opinion there isn't. Do you think there's anything missing?
No, I actually don't. I think he's doing fine right now. I don't think we've seen him in enough different types of matches to really judge that yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, up until what, maybe 2 months ago, he was in the tag matches. I mean, his heel run in ring, I felt he sometimes was in there with the wrong guys. I don't think his style works with everyone, but when you find a guy who could work that style, he's amazing. But he's a wild brawler, and I think Stone Cold proved that could work as a babyface style.
That is quite true. Yeah, that's true. I agree with that. So that's a non-match, and I don't think we're going to see them in a ring together again for a while. I think Rollins will do something else, and I think Ambrose fights Kane. Wait. The Demon Kane. At SummerSlam.
Good Lord.
All right. Here's the other match that caused a lot of uproar. And that is the match between Bray Wyatt and Chris Jericho. The first of what apparently is a 3-match set from what we've heard. And then Jericho's leaving again. That's another issue I'm going to bitch about on another show. Originally, Bray was supposed to win, but then Vince put his old creaky bones on this and had Jericho win, similar to the opening match at WrestleMania where John Cena beat Bray first. Glenn, did that bug you?
Jericho winning didn't really bug me. What bugged me was more the quality of the match itself.
Okay.
I really expected them to mesh a little better than they did. And maybe that's just Jericho being gone for a while, and maybe it's something deeper with Bray Wyatt, because I've been disappointed in a lot of Bray Wyatt matches this year.
Okay. JD?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything Glenn just said. I think a lot of us maybe got our hopes up with Jericho. Jericho's back, and we kind of expect Jericho to almost be like a Shawn Michaels level in terms he comes back, and whoever he's with, it's just going to be 4 stars. The match result, I mean, it bothered me just simply because I'm a Bray Wyatt fan, but I understand why they did it. But the match itself was just not that great. And like Glenn said, I don't know if that's all on Jericho. And I love Wyatt, but outside of the Daniel Bryan match at the Royal Rumble, what matches he had where you say, wow, this was incredible. Wow, this was a really good match. I can't really think of one. Singles-wise, you know, the Elimination Chamber with the six-man tag, that was awesome. But as a single, and maybe it's because he's so heavy on the character work, and I don't know. It's just a lot of times his matches end, and I just think we could have got something better. Not that his matches are outright bad,
mm-hmm.
but they're just not what we expect them to be, maybe.
I mean, really, he's faced four guys since coming up to the roster in last summer. He's faced Kane, and that was an unwatchable shit show.
Yeah, that's not his fault. And even that, the match was an inferno match. What
do you
do there?
And those stink anyway, right? Yeah. Bryan at the Rumble, which was awesome.
Yep.
Like you said, the six-man at the Chamber, which was a mixture of six really good guys. Three straight Cena matches. All three of them pretty good.
The Last Man Standing match was really good.
Yeah, and I believe it or not,
I agree.
I mean, I saw the cage match live. I was at Extreme Rules, and I didn't think it was terrible. I didn't have a problem with the cage match.
I wasn't a big fan of the WrestleMania match.
I wasn't either.
I wasn't a fan of the WrestleMania match or the cage match, but that was more the booking in the cage match. The just stupid, stupid parts where Cena would climb to the top and then see Rowan and Harper on the floor and back off all scared instead of, you know, jumping down on them. What, are they going to keep him from hitting the floor?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
Glenn channeled his inner Randy Orton when he yelled at Kofi Kingston.
Stupid.
Randy Orton. I forgot about that. That's right. I think I'm more annoyed that he's doing this like hit and run thing. This is not like a pit stop. It's not like, all right, well, Fozzy's off for a few months. Let me go wrestle for a while.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, I think part of the frustration, too, some fans have is Wyatt came out of that Cena feud, and he didn't really look great coming out of it. And then Jericho shows up, and a lot of people were thinking, oh, this guy's going to put over Bray Wyatt. And then he goes and wins the match. You know?
It was also
totally
a little,
clean as a sheet, you know?
It was also a little bit of 50-50 booking because Wyatt was getting the leg up on Jericho pretty much every week on Raw. So for Wyatt to win the pay-per-view match would have really, I would never say bury Jericho. Jericho's way, way, way above that, but would have put Jericho in a situation where he would have had to get the win at SummerSlam or the next match in order
to. But if he's only there for three shows, then who cares if he doesn't get any of the wins?
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
and,
that's
you
the
know,
point,
Bray,
I think.
And Bray Wyatt does have a little bit of blame to go around in terms of his own performance without having a really, really elite guy, but I'm gonna tell you, I've watched a couple of his matches coming back on SmackDown and Raw. Chris Jericho, he's lost his fastball. He doesn't really have it the way he used to. He's still a really, really good wrestler, but I don't think he's the guy that we saw back in 2010.
Yeah.
Or, you know, when he was pretty much the best guy, or even when he was wrestling CM Punk. I think we've lost that Chris Jericho. I think the Chris Jericho we have, he's gained a little bit of weight. I don't really care about that. It's just a matter of, like, pacing and timing and durability. And I just don't – and putting spots together. And I just don't see that out of Jericho yet. Hopefully he can find one with Wyatt in the next 2 months. But time's running out.
Yeah.
That also brings up another issue. How many times – does Jericho come back before he reaches Mick Foley levels of diminishing returns? And how far down that road is RVD already?
You got to be careful with Mick Foley. John gets very sensitive.
He's going to get on Twitter.
John gets very sensitive about Mick Foley. Because Mick Foley charges more for every time he comes back. That's why.
No, but Glenn's right.
He
deserves
everything he gets.
No, literally, Bray Wyatt does a DDT off the apron, and Mick Foley is tweeting, "He stole that from me!"
No, he's fat and deaf. Shut up.
But Glenn's right, though. You know, I mean, you can keep bringing Jericho back and having to put this guy over, putting that guy over. Eventually, Jericho putting you over doesn't really mean anything.
Do shit for you. Exactly.
It did nothing for Dolph Ziggler. I'm sorry, it didn't.
No, it really didn't.
I don't even remember when that happened.
2012,
right after SummerSlam.
Right after SummerSlam.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. After and him and he had to lose to leave.
Does anybody even remember the guy who put out Jericho in 2013 before he left? Because I remember who. Exactly, it was Ryback.
The Ryback?
The Ryback. All right, let's move on. All right, this Battle Royal. We all know who won, but guess who didn't win?
Yeah.
That's right, Ben Morse. All you Bo-leavers. Sucker.
That's okay, little buddy.
wait, you gotta do the Peter Brady voice cracking puberty voice. That's okay, little buddy. You're a believer.
Oh, golly.
What is he, 11? Just make him a Wyatt and move on. I have zero interest in The Miz as Intercontinental Champion again. Apparently he's feuding with Sheamus because the two singles title guys have to feud with each other so we can't have any other challengers.
Right.
I think that may have pissed me off more than anything else on this card.
That's why I thought Miz wasn't going to win because, he's got a Sheamus feud.
So now the two guys with the belts are going to feud. There is a rumor, though, that there is something floating around that they're supposed to combine them, which I think is pretty stupid. But
that actually wasn't just floating around. Alex Riley teased that on the Raw pre-show.
Hmm.
And I was surprised to hear that actually on TV.
Hmm. Interesting.
I'm just surprised anyone watched the pre-show.
I still do.
That's okay. I like that. I like that somebody watches the pre-show. I've watched the SmackDown pre-show.
I need my dose of Booker, okay, guys?
Someone needs to watch these shows. Like, someone has to watch Superstars. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, well, ain't gonna be Dan McGinn anymore, that's for sure. I think that made me mad more than anything else. I'd have been fine if Sheamus won it and then just walked out with both, and he was the inter-U.S. champion, or the U.S. Continental champion, or I don't know what the hell they would have done with it, but I still think, damn it, they should have had him get squashed by Rusev, and then they could change it to the Russian championship.
Yeah,
would have been friggin' great. When they had that on 4th of July, when Sheamus had that open challenge, how is that not a chance for Rusev to come out, beat Sheamus like a dog, and change the belt to the Russian heavyweight championship?
Mm-hmm. Well,
Just like Lance Storm did in WCW when he made everything the Canadian belts.
So we'd have an Irishman defending the United States of America?
Exactly.
Yeah, that and a Bulgarian like a, man representing Russia, so...
That sounds like a really bad summer action movie.
Like The Expendables 3? I didn't realize. I think Ronda Rousey's in The Expendables 3.
She is.
I think I saw her in the commercial tonight. Am I right, John?
She is, yes.
Yeah, she's Ronda Rousey's in it. That's pretty awesome. She could kick all those ass, all their slightly 95-year-old asses anyway.
And she's slightly manlier than Mel Gibson.
Oh, I hardly...
I'm going to have to disagree on that.
She is hotter than... Man, she could put me in some submission any day.
Yeah. Yeah,
as long as it doesn't break anything. But, all right. So, The Miz is your Intercontinental Champion, and nobody really gives a crap.
I felt so bad for Dolph Ziggler, though, because that was a good chance for him to get a push.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw Miz on the camera side when they showed the trophy or the belt.
They gave it away.
And then they did the kick where Sheamus gets eliminated, and I didn't hear the bell. I said, shit. And I knew it. And yep. I was...
At least
it's
it was quick.
Another reason to hate The Miz. It's
at
just
least it was quick, though.
Reason
like,
to hate The Miz.
But at least it was quick, though. Like, Miz hopped in literally 1 second later instead of, like, some annoying... You know what somebody... I think it was Justin that said it when we were watching it. You know what would have been really cool? If the whole Bad News Barrett shoulder injury was fake, and he came out and said, congratulations, and Dolph went... Now, this I wouldn't have gotten this. Dolph went straight, and Bad News Barrett goes, congratulations. But I'm afraid I've got some bad news. And he fakes the injury and keeps the belt anyway. How awesome would that have been? I did not go in with that heart in a heartbeat.
That would have been grunny.
I thought that's what they were going to do with Bo. Bo wins and just gets laid out by Barrett and make Barrett an official babyface.
Should we do an angle where Bo is like, he grows at accelerated rate and he actually has the brain of a 12-year-old?
How about the accelerated rate and he... You know, gets like one of those puberty mustaches.
Yeah, like Jack, like the movie Jack.
How about the first episode of Raw where we see him shave? You know. All right.
Like the movie that might be a good sentence to say.
What?
Yeah, that might be a little high concept to give Bo Dallas sudden onset Jack disease. I mean, once again, be the only one happy to see The Miz with a belt. I like Hollywood Miz.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he's that terrible. It's just when, again, kind of the same thing I said about Swagger, when the match starts, he's still kind of the same. Well, I guess, to his defense, he does the thing where he tries to protect his face. So that's a little twist.
Yeah.
I love how
he's like a mix of 2003 Rock, although no one will ever match that because 2003 Rock is friggin' awesome. And like 92 Rick Martel.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's a Hollywood persona that doesn't come off really, really shticky. At least it comes off a little douchey.
Well, Hollywood persona when you've got movies people like. Guess what, guys? I was in the Marine 12!
Like, yeah, guess what, guys? I was in the Scorpion King.
Well, that's true, I guess.
In a way, he's kind of playing a Bo Dallas-type character. In that he's not at all what he thinks he is.
In that there's fake fans that actually...
In that he's mentally retarded?
It's Ms. Lieber. There's Ms. Leavers? All right. Let's quickly talk about the main event, because really there's nothing to talk about here. This is actually the one match that nobody probably really cares about. Everybody really knew John Cena was going to keep it to set up what is going to happen at SummerSlam. So I don't think anybody's that pissed off. Is anybody really that pissed off that Cena... Not pissed off like, oh my God, he won again. More like, whatever. I think, JD, it's more like your opinion that you talked about earlier where it's like you know, like, all right, Cena won, whatever. Like any other paper. Move on.
I took delight in the rumor mongers who suddenly thought out of that rumor that Reigns was going to win it because Cena couldn't go to the Raw the night after. I thought that was really, really funny. And when it didn't pan out, I said, yeah, y'all are fucking stupid.
Now, me being a master of aesthetics, I always catch these things. First off, loved Orton's alternate blue tights. Those were very cool. I want to see him go back to those 2004 orange tights. I always thought those were really awesome.
He did it in tribute for Dave for the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Remembering Batista.
Remembering
Paul. I'm waiting for Triple H to come out for his next match in blue so we can have Bluevolution.
The Bluevolution?
The one and only.
Wait a minute.
I think they did that in the movie Jack, didn't they?
What's with Triple H's sudden onset Jack disease?
Triple H has no diseases. You'll learn.
He has getting late to the police station-itis.
because Stephanie's going to be in season 2 of Orange is the New Black. So, all right. John, your thoughts on Roman Reigns' performance? Don't like the gold trim on the outfit. That was kind of off. I wasn't a big fan.
I agree.
Didn't like that.
It looks like an extra in Tron Legacy.
Yeah, exactly. I thought there was going to be little cars running up and down him. John, your thoughts on Reigns' performance in the match?
Well, I'll probably be hated by this, but I don't think Reigns is anywhere close to being ready.
I hate you.
I hate you? No, I'm sorry.
He hate me? Where is that guy?
Let him finish his point. Probably. Jesus.
Right?
As much as I give Cena shit for not having a wide arsenal of moves, Reigns has even less. I mean, he has kicks, punches, and clotheslines. Could they teach the guy some kind of suplex?
Hulk Hogan made a multi-billion dollar career out of that.
Yeah, that was about, you know, what are we at now? 30 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, things change. Things
that
evolve.
Is true. That's true. He's not slated to win the title for at least another 7 months. So I think he does have some time.
To your point, this is the time where he should start showing what he could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm afraid what we see is all he could do.
Mm.
Which kind of scares me, especially if this is the guy they're putting everything on.
Mm. All right, Rich, now you can talk. What do you think? You agree? Disagree?
Well, no, I agree completely with what Johnny said. He doesn't really have a lot of meat and potatoes to his game, to his like his repertoire. We're kind of seeing the moves of Doom with the kick in the apron and the Superman punch and the spear. And you could see throughout the match he was kind of aping what other people were doing in order to kind of carry himself into the finishing sequence. Like, you know, Randy Orton gives him a crab, and then he reverses and he gives him a crab. It's like, well, that's not really creative. You need to do something of your own, you know? So I guess that I get the criticism there with Reigns. Fandom-wise, he's on fire. I mean, everybody loves him. He's definitely going to be in a feud with Randy Orton going forward for SummerSlam. He's probably going to win that match. So I think he was on like the last guy on the SummerSlam ad promo. So obviously he's the big cheese, you know, along with Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins. They're all getting pushed individually to be, you know, perennial stars for the rest of the year. So yeah, he's got a little bit of work to do, but you know, the fans are firmly, firmly behind him. So that's going to save him at least a couple of months before people start figuring out that he needs to work on his wrestling as an individual.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, there's Battleground, gentlemen. Nice
hey,
job.
Can I,
all your...
can I throw something in?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just to see what you guys think. I don't have a problem with the result of the match. Cena winning, that's fine. I had an issue with them putting Reigns in this match. What is the reward versus the risk of that? You put your guy who's in there that you're trying to be the next guy in a match that everyone knows he's not going to win. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? I just thought that it was really sloppy to put him in there because you don't want to run the risk of getting that stigma of him being a guy that doesn't win the big matches.
Here's what I would have done. Here's my point. I think you should have had Orton, and I hate to say this because I know everybody's going to get pissed, but you might as well blow it out in a pay-per-view nobody cares about. Mm-hmm. Just do Orton Cena solo. Get Orton's quote-unquote rematch
like
out of the way.
Yeah, have Kane as an enforcer or even special ref or something.
Yeah, just get that match out of the way because nobody gives a crap anyway. Mm-hmm. Have Kane fight Ambrose and have Rollins fight Reigns and have that end in a schmoz. That I would have been okay with.
Yeah.
And not even bother jacking this matchup with 5 million guys. Because the whole logic of it was, why did Triple H, who hates Roman Reigns, put him in this match to begin with?
Right.
That made no sense anyway.
They spent the whole last show
avoiding
making it a point that he wasn't going to get in the title
Get into the title match at Money in the Bank.
And it would have made sense to have Orton get the title shot that now he still is not getting.
Right.
Right.
So, there you go.
I just think, you know... Yeah, he can get in there and get that stare down with Cena, which the fans did not respond to at all, by the way.
They got into the stare down with Triple H, though. They did get into that. The stare down with Cena, nobody cared.
But at the risk of having him lose another match, and of course he doesn't get pinned, but I don't know. I just think that's a risky thing to do.
My Cliff Notes answer to that is that Vince wanted Reigns in a main event match right before SummerSlam to beef up his match with Orton, which would be the next match down.
Right. All right.
My only issue with that, and an issue with trying to wait until next year to do the big coronation for Reigns, is after the last couple of months, what do you do with him that's not a step back?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's true. I concur with that.
Maybe you just go Goldberg with him and just have him just crush guys. You know, Big Show's not doing anything. Mark Henry's not doing anything. I don't know.
No, good point. I agree. All right, guys, nice job. And Battleground's in the books. Our next pay-per-view, of course, my favorite, personal favorite brand of all time, and that is SummerSlam, taking place Sunday, August 17th, from, of course, the Staples Center in Los Angeles. When we come back here on the main event, little fun and games. We're going to break down... I don't usually do this much, because Justin and I try to do it on the Place to Be podcast, and it's like crickets, although there are more voices. But we're going to break down... a surprise, and I'll tell these guys on the other side. But first, a word.
The Jesus. Word?
The word.
Oh, because?
I hate you, Reesh.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, we'll be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show, every week, here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pav. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. And a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation, to episode number 14 of PTBN's Main Event. I'm Scott Criscullo, Jordan Duncan, Andrew Reich, Johnny Reckless, and the debuting Glenn Butler on this week's show. We had a great discussion about Battleground, and now we're going to have a little fun. But as you heard in the break, all the great podcasts we have here, and of course, check out Place to Be Nation every day. We got all sorts of new fun stuff. Of course, the big news this week at Place to Be Nation, there is a new Raw recap writer. I have passed the baton to Dan McGinn, so I hope you guys will continue reading. I thank everybody who's read my recaps over the past year plus. It's been fun, but I have some other Place to Be Nation projects I need to dive into that need to take more of my time. And for those that know, I write it on Monday nights right after Mr. Azzaro and I do our show, and starting to do Raw at 10:45 is not fun. And as we know, this isn't exactly the Attitude Era. So we're not exactly talking about 3 hours of excitement. So, yes, Jordan.
Have you ever seen the movie Single White Female?
Yes.
There's kind of a vibe with you and McGinn. He's starting to take over your life, I think.
He wishes he looked like me.
Single White Criscolo.
He's going to start wearing Triple H t-shirts. And what do you think of my new outfit? Why do you have
can you wear, can you wear the same hairstyles that Bridget Fonda has in them?
No, he wants to know. McGinn's going to walk around with a Harley Race mustache and see what happens. can I build a Hell in a Cell in my living room? No. Anyway, Dan's awesome. He wrote Superstars, and now he's moved on to Raw. So,
and co-host of the Steve Corino Show.
And he's, of course, the co-slash-producer for the Steve Corino Show. Continue voting in the PlaceToBeNation.com World Cup of TV Characters Tournament. A couple new brackets today. I haven't had a chance to hop on them yet. But please do, because we want some upsets. Everybody's saying, you know, Costanza, Costanza, Costanza. We want some upsets. We want, like, an underdog to try and make a run here. An underdog TV character that may wreck the Seinfeld juggernaut.
Is underdog a character still in the pool?
I wish. I don't think so.
What about the Sabatka family in The Wire?
there are Wire characters, Mr. Reich. But anyway, go ahead. PlaceToBeNation.com. You're a one-stop home for everything pop culture. Mr. Butler's Walk Around the Web. Fascinating stuff that you post, Glenn. We got to get you, Mr. Reckless, to write some stuff as well. Need you to get on the site. So there you go, PlaceToBeNation.com. All right. Time for some fun, guys. Mr. Reckless knows what I'm about to do because I used to do this on our old show. As everybody knows, I am a DVD junkie, and the network has not impeded me from buying DVDs. I'm still going to buy pay-per-views because when you're a collector, you just are a collector. You don't stop. I'll slow down a bit now. I'll wait until stuff is dirt cheap. But I will not. But obviously, the network stops me from some other stuff I would think to buy and then won't. Because they post the documentary at least on the network, on the Outside the Ring series. And there are some DVDs coming out this second half of the year that are very hot. Of course, Mr. Reckless, I know what you're going to buy. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. I'm pumped about that one.
Absolutely.
For that, did you see, John, there were pictures of him doing the interview when he got back. He purposely put on the long leather trench coat and the headset.
Yes.
Right up
and
your alley.
And a ponytail?
And the yeah, if he had any. No, I'd probably tape it to his hat like he did in 2001.
And interesting, the content listing, I don't think there's any matches. It's all promos and interviews,
well,
right?
There might be. There may be the one match that may be on there is the one he had with Cornette at the 89 Bash, the tuxedo match. And there's probably a couple in AWA that he probably had, too. So, yeah. But probably the rest are promos. Besides, the documentary is all we really care about anyway. We don't give a damn about the matches.
Yeah,
but we all know one set that's coming out that is we thought would never happen, but is, and I'd like to talk about it in the second segment, is the Sting the Ultimate Collection. We are finally going to get a legit Sting comp. Now, I know TNA did one, and if you're a real completist, then you may want to get the Sting, you know, because I think TNA is selling their DVDs for like 20 cents now, so... you may want to get the Sting comp, because that way you could be a real completist and own everything. But they are doing a 3-disc... Sting series. I think it's called Sting the Ultimate Collection. Comes out sometime in a couple months, month and a half or so. I don't have an exact date. What we're going to do, guys, I'm going to go across the board. I'm going to give the match listing, and I want you to tell me thumbs up, thumbs down, meaning is this a match you're looking forward to seeing or not looking forward to seeing? Because this is we've had Sting matches sprinkled on other sets, Starcade, the Nitro sets, that kind of thing. But this is Sting specific, which we've never had before. In WWE, in the media department. So I'm curious to see what everybody's opinion is. All right. This is disc one. JD, I'll start with you, and we'll go across the board.
And I got to warn you, too. Some of these are really obscure.
Yeah, but that may make it better. So we'll see. All right. So I want everybody to give me a thumbs up and a couple of sentences, Reesh, of the reason why. Okay? Disc one. I'm not going to give the chapter title. I don't care about that. The Blade Runners versus Brett Wayne Sawyer and Sean O'Reilly, UWF Power Pro Wrestling, April 1986. JD, thumbs up, thumbs down?
I'll say thumbs up just because I don't think I've ever seen a Blade Runners match.
Mm. Okay. Glenn?
I think I'm going to be the first to violate your two sentences things because
well, no, that's on the leash. You could do as much as you want. The two sentences only.
Oh, thanks. Yep. Well, y'all, you know, sit down, get some water or something.
No, go ahead.
I actually didn't start watching wrestling until after WCW was over. I've seen one WCW show. I watched the last Nitro for curiosity's sake.
Oh, you poor soul.
Wow.
And like a couple of matches here and there that were on various people's DVDs, like a couple on the Bret Hart DVD and stuff like that. So I've only ever even seen two, maybe three, but I doubt it, Sting matches. And they're both on this set, so.
Okay. Okay. So definitely thumbs up for you then for most of this set because you'd like to see.
Yeah, sure. It's
okay.
All new to me.
Okay. Johnny.
Definitely a thumbs up.
Okay.
It's something I've never seen before, and it's definitely some footage I'm curious to see.
Yeah.
Okay. And Reesh, you only have one sentence because it blends up into yours.
Thumbs up because I think they already had this on the Mid-South DVD, but it's really cool because Sting is totally jacked on steroids.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Next. Sting and Rick Steiner versus Mike Rotundo and Ron Simmons, NWA Southern Pro Wrestling, May 19th, 1987. Reesh, up or down?
Oh, thumbs up, because that's the transition right after they bought, I think NWA bought UWF. So that's a very, very rarely seen match. I've never seen it. So, yeah, who are the opponents for Rick and Sting again?
Mike Rotundo and Ron Simmons.
Mike Rotundo was a pretty decent wrestler at his when he was young, so that's going to be a good match. Okay. I want to see that.
Okay. Johnny?
I'm going to definitely go thumbs up on this. Again, it's rare footage that we haven't really seen much of yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good group of guys. It's probably cool to see them when they're younger.
Mm. Glenn, obviously thumbs up for you.
Yeah, Mike Rotundo and Ron Simmons seems like an interesting combination.
Mm-hmm. JD?
Yeah, thumbs up. Especially Ron Simmons in 87. I'm trying to think, when did Doom start? 88?
90.
89.
Late
well, they were at Starrcade 89 when it was the tournament thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Correct.
So, yeah. Yep. And what about the Varsity Club then? When was that? 88?
Late 87 till, and I'm watching mid-89 right now.
This is a few months before the Varsity Club then with Steiner and Rotundo there. So.
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, that's probably good. I mean, Rotunda's a great tag match guy, so. The only thing I'm wondering if it's a TV thing is maybe it's short, but yeah, sure, thumbs up.
Okay. Ric Flair versus Sting for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, NWA Pro Wrestling, January 2nd, 1988. JD. This is about 2 months before the 45-minute draw.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I would have ever seen this on anything, and I don't think that I have, so I'll say thumbs up. Just even if I have seen it, it's probably good because Sting and Flair was a nice combination, so thumbs up again.
Okay. Glenn, have you, in your watchings over the last years, have you gained a respect for Flair? Have you watched a lot of Flair? Obviously, I'm assuming you have.
Oh, sure. I'm fine with Flair.
Okay.
So, yeah, seems interesting.
Okay.
I'm going to be saying that a lot.
Okay. <yep. laughs>
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Johnny?
Thumbs up. I know I've never seen this match.
I don't know. I haven't either.
The reason I'm interested in seeing it is just the comparison between this and the one they have a couple months later.
Yeah. I'm sure this one's not as long.
I Googled it to try and figure out what show it is, and I found it on Daily Motion. It's 17 minutes.
Okay. That's a good compact little thing.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It must be pretty good, though. If they plan on giving Sting 45 minutes on national television the same day as WrestleMania 4,
yeah.
I have a feeling this match is going to be pretty
good. This might have been like their trial run for that.
I have a feeling it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, it was like a dress rehearsal.
Yeah. Thumbs up for you too, Reesh.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen it, and the match has to be good. I mean, they had a classic 2 months later.
Yeah. All right. Sting versus Stan Lane, main event, and not the show, October 2nd, 1988. Not a big Stan Lane guy, my personal opinion. Reesh?
That one's a little odd. Did Stan Lane had already joined the Midnight Express by then?
Oh, he'd been with the Midnight Express for probably a year at that point.
So he was a little bit, you know, he had a little bit of experience by that point with Beautiful Bobby, so he at least knew a little bit. But I don't know. That's weird. I would guess that Sting was a TV champion by this point. They were trying to build him up. I don't know. I would have scrapped this one.
Okay. Actually, he wasn't. Mike Rotundo was still the TV champ at this point.
Okay.
Because
okay.
Rick Steiner beat him at Starrcade 88. So. Johnny, you and I have talked about this, about Stan Lane a lot. I've always been a Dennis Condrey guy, so I've never mm-hmm. warmed up to Stan Lane and the Midnight Express. What are your thoughts on this one?
I'm probably in the minority of my preferred pairing for the Midnight Express was always Eaton and Lane. I'm looking forward to this. I'll give it a thumbs up just to see some early Stan Lane. You know, there's not much of it out there.
True.
Without the Midnights.
Mm. Glenn, how much Midnight Express? Are you a big Midnight Express guy? Did you like? Have you seen both combinations?
I don't think I've seen either.
Oh, okay. So this might be interesting for you then. Dennis Condrey was Bobby Eaton's first partner, and I don't know. I always thought those two had better chemistry, but that's me in that old school like 85, 86.
Bobby and Dennis.
Yeah. See, I'm a fan of that old school 85, 86 NWA, so I've always kind of liked them over Stan Lane, but. I think of Stan Lane as that mid-90s WWF dorky announcer guy more than that.
The
so.
One thing about Stan Lane is that he was more finesse, so they could work a faster pace.
Right, true.
Whereas Dennis was more methodical, but that made much better classic tag team formula when they were together.
Mm.
But, man, that's like, what do you want, strawberries or blueberries? I mean, they're both great.
I want snozzberries.
I've walked
the snozzberries?
What do those taste like?
JD,
Scott. Oh, go ahead.
Hey, I like Stan Lane. I don't know. I'm kind of like Andrew. I just think this. I don't know. Yeah, why not? I'll say thumbs up just because I'm curious as to what it would look like.
Okay,
Scott, can I throw a little exemption into the whole thing with the timeline? Can I just pitch like name drop a match that they could have put in there and didn't?
When we get to the end of the list.
All right.
We'll get to the end of the list.
All right, I'll write them down now.
All right, here's my first thumbs down because I remember watching this on a Clash and it sucked. Sting versus Butch Reed, main event, March 26th, 1989. I'm trying to remember where I saw this. Was it Clash 6 or was it – maybe it was Wrestle War? I think it was Wrestle War. And I thought their chemistry was the shits. Not a fan of this combination at all.
Chi-Town Rumble, they fought.
It was Chi-Town Rumble. I know it was one of the early 89 pay-per-views. Either Chi-Town Rumble – or Wrestle War. Okay, it's Chi-Town. Not a big fan. Didn't like this combination. JD?
Yeah, I'll say thumbs down. I remember thinking Butch Reed sucked in this period, too. Which is funny, because then he went into Doom and kind of revitalized himself, because I thought Doom was awesome. Mm. But yeah, Butch Reed as a single was nothing I was looking forward to. So I'll say thumbs down for the first time.
Glenn, how much Butch Reed do you know?
Just the couple of matches in WWF. Okay. I'm going to say thumbs down for this, too. I'd rather see Sting versus the sense of loneliness that inhabits all our souls.
Was that where Damien Demento was from? Oh, no.
That was right. The plot to True Detective.
Johnny, I know you and I are big Doom guys, but I can't see you wanting to like this match, this competition.
No. This is definitely a thumbs down. Basically, just agreeing with what was said. This was a point in Butch Reed's career where he was kind of... I don't know. He just kind of sucked for a while.
Reesh.
No.
You like Butch Reed? Butch Reed's one of those guys from old school Mid-South Louisiana with JYD.
He was, but he wasn't one of my favorites, to be honest with you, between all the guys that were in Mid-South. So I'll skip this one.
Okay. All right. Next. This might be an interesting combination. I don't think I've ever seen these two wrestle together. Sting versus Mike Rotundo for the NWA World Television Title, WCW World Championship Wrestling, April 1st, 1989. Day before that, looks like the day before Clash 6. Might be a good combo. Then again, Mike Rotundo, everything's fine because he's a pretty serviceable guy. I think I might thumbs up this match, Reesh.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like I was said earlier, Rotundo's a solid wrestler. In his younger days, he was good to very good, so that'll be a good match. Is this the one where he wins the TV title?
Good call.
No,
I think so. I think he wins it later in the year.
Okay.
I think.
Well, I'll go next, I guess, since I butted in there. I Googled this one because I was looking at the match listing. And Sting actually won the title on March 31st, 1989. So he won it the day before. So
this must be a rematch. Okay.
Yeah. So his first title defense.
Okay.
All right. I'll say thumbs up.
Okay. Johnny?
Thumbs up. it was already said, but Rotunda at this point was, he was just pretty decent in the ring. Really don't see a bad match.
Yeah. Glenn, how much Mike Rotunda do you know?
Rotunda without Wyndham makes no sense to me.
Really? Okay. Pre-IRS. Okay. Yeah, I liked him in the Varsity Club, so that'd probably be a pretty good match. All right. Speaking of Doom, here's the other half of the equation. Sting versus Ron Simmons, WCW Power Hour, August 18th, 1989. I would think this is just like a Butch Reed match, so I'd be like thumbs middle-ish to down. Reesh?
Same. Thumbs middle, thumbs down.
Johnny?
I was not a fan of either guy.
Mm. Thumbs down. The only thing I'm curious about, Simmons working as a heel before Doom, which could be interesting. Because I don't remember that.
Okay. JD?
I'll say thumbs down if I'm talking about why I would buy this DVD, because, again, I've been Googling some of these, and I found this one on YouTube already. So.
Okay.
And it's 12 minutes, and I don't think I want to see Sting versus Ron Simmons for 12 minutes.
Ooh, that does seem kind of long.
In that case, yeah. Jordan, you will never buy a WWE DVD again, ever.
Well, hey, I couldn't find the Blade Runners match on YouTube, so.
There you go.
You know why? Because it's in Bill Watts' kid's freaking back closet.
It's in his wife's boudoir, is where it is. It's in her bidet, so. Glenn? Ron Simmons? Anything? Pre-Farouk? Ring a bell?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it rings a bell. I'm wondering though, from people who watch more WCW than me, after RoboCop rescued Sting, did they form a tag team and then have a match with two members of the Four Horsemen, but then RoboCop betrayed Sting and joined the Four Horsemen?
They actually had a brief romance, I believe, is the way they went with that.
Everybody joins the Four Horsemen.
You know what's unbelievable about that, Glenn? At the time, Sting had just suffered a knee injury, so when RoboCop was saving him out of a cage, I'm not making that up.
That's what's unbelievable about it, Glenn.
Sting couldn't wrestle because he had just hurt his knee, so all he did was just stand there and stare at the Horsemen.
I just got to recap. Andrew said what was unbelievable about RoboCop rescuing Sting from a cage is that Sting's knee was hurt. Everything else, totally
perfectly believable.
RoboCop is totally real.
Then RoboCop took his helmet off, and it was Paul Roma.
RoboCop.
Not the RoboCop, sadly.
Yes, I know.
RoboCop probably cuts a better pro than RomaCop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure he does.
All right, this one I would definitely thumbs up because I'm watching this now in my viewings. For the TV title, Sting versus Muda, Power Hour, September 1st, 1989, which is kind of around the window that I am now. Now, at the Bash, the title was held up. It was one of those back suplex, double pin, somebody's shoulder wasn't up crap.
And then Dusty Classic.
And then Muda just took the belt and left. So he went at Clash 8 that I watched today, he actually was wearing the belt, even though technically there was no TV champion. Johnny, I know you're a Muda guy, so big thumbs up for you here, right?
Yeah, two thumbs up. Anything with Muda, I'll take.
JD?
I want a Muda DVD.
Oh, I'd love a Muda DVD. Hell yeah. JD?
Yeah, easy thumbs up. Glenn, I think you will really like The Great Muda.
Yeah. No,
I think I saw a couple of Muda matches because I watched one volume of The Best of Nitro, and I think he was in a couple of matches on there.
Mm. Well, these early, late 80s, he's a lot quicker.
Mm. I bet.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Reesh.
Anything? Oh yeah. The only thing that I object to is that for the uninitiated, I wish they'd have just gone ahead and put in the Great American Bash match because that match is a classic.
Yeah, I watched it yesterday. Fantastic match.
So good, and it's only like 13 minutes.
Yeah, it's only 12 or 13 minutes. Yeah, it's not long.
Man, it goes so fast. You're like, wow.
Yeah,
that might actually be on the Bash DVD. I'm not sure.
I'm sure it is.
It better be.
The whole show should be on the Bash DVD.
Yeah. No, that's
you know
true.
It was a fun match? Do you guys remember, on a side note, do you remember there was actually a War Games on that show?
Yeah.
Yes.
JD, I mentioned it to you earlier. On that, remember I said it to you yesterday?
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
There's a War Games. It was, for those that don't know, it was Midnight, the baby faces were Midnight Express, the Road Warriors, and Dr. Death. And the heels were all three Freebirds and the Samoan SWAT team.
Yeah.
It was a great
And it was Cornette and Dangerously on each side.
Right, yeah.
Correct.
This is a separate topic for another day. I might have to have Chad and Parv talk about this on Where the Big Boys Play. Never liked Jimmy Garvin as a Freebird. He kind of looked like a,
He was fat.
But he looked like a, like a sissy boy. I don't know. He didn't look like a Freebird. He looked like a porn star or something.
Two things I remember about that match. Number one, Michael Hayes outside the ring trying to game plan was hilarious.
Yeah.
And number two, Dr. Death bench pressing Terry Gordy on the ceiling of the cage is incredible.
Mm. Okay.
The only other thing about that, I think it was the clash right before that was the return of Terry Gordy, which was actually really cool.
Yes, Gordy joined. It was that's how they became three Freebirds. It was Gordy.
Exactly, yep.
It was Gordy, Hayes, and Garvin. I thought Garvin.
And if you had been watching the Saturday shows before that, they were kind of Hayes kept hinting at Gordy, and it was definitely cool to finally see Gordy.
Yeah, I love Gordy. I like him. I soon like him when him and Dr. Death formed that awesome tag team in Japan. Yeah. Oh my god, so awesome. Okay, next match is one that's pretty well known, and I'm not a big fan of actually. It's the Flair Sting match for the world title from the 1990. Great American Bash, which of course is Sting's, first world championship win. Never liked this match. I have to say, thumbs down. Not a fan of it.
Yeah.
JD?
I can see why they put it on there. It's his first world title win. And you have, Elegante handcuffed to Ole Anderson. So that's great.
while he's porking Missy Hyatt. So.
I remember the crowd being just insane for Sting. I would say for someone who's never seen it, it might be a thumbs up. I've seen it before. Cool that they put it on there. I could see why, but yeah, I'd say thumbs in the middle, I guess, because I understand why they do it, but I don't have a ton of interest to see it again.
Okay. All right. Johnny?
I'm going to give it a thumbs up. Of course, I've seen it quite a few times, but it belongs on this DVD just because it's Sting's moment,
Mm-hmm. Reesh?
The dudes with attitudes. The one thing about this match I remembered, it was one of Sting's signature face paints because he had the flag.
And yeah, he had the flag paint. That was cool.
And I always thought that was kind of his signature look when it came to Sting the Hero whenever you saw him on trading cards and stuff like that. Because it was just such a defining moment like Johnny was saying for him. So in that case, but if you could have put that in a highlight, that would have been great because you're right, the match itself was not that great.
Mm. Glenn, have you ever seen this match?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, you might have a different opinion of it. I just think his match. Let's put it this way: when you watch, if you get this set and you watch the match from '88 and then the match from this one, I think you'll be the match from '88 is a little better. So
yeah,
it's like Cena. If Cena and Punk had a really good match, but not a great match,
right. I think it's more like Rocky versus Rocky II, Rocky and Rocky II. Rocky I's the classic, but he doesn't win in Rocky I. He wins in Rocky II.
Good point. Oh, that's an interesting comment. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it.
I like that.
Mr. T's not involved with that.
Hey, woman. Hey, woman. Why don't you come over here, Robin Green, and I'll show you a real man.
Maybe that woman he was talking to was his mother, because he loves his mom.
All right. Final match on disc one, Sting versus Dirty Dutch Mantel from main event September 2nd, 1990. It's kind of random. I'm a big, as Johnny knows, I'm a huge Dutch Mantel fan. Not a Zeb Coulter fan, but I'm a big Dutch Mantel fan. I'd say thumbs up. Consensus, guys? Thumbs up. Dirty Dutch?
No. I tell you, an easy replacement. The one with Sid at Halloween Havoc.
Hmm.
I love that.
Sid movie. In quotation marks.
The Sid?
It was not the Sid.
Yeah, there was only one Sid. All right. Disc 2 has some interesting ones, some good ones. All right. Sting versus Nikita Koloff, Clash 14, June 14th, 1991. Now, a lot of people thought at this point that Nikita Koloff was on, cruise control. He was just cashing a check. He kind of lost his vim and vigor for the business. And I remember not being overly in love with this match. Johnny?
I'm going to give this a thumbs down. I don't really like this run with Nikita at all. And you know me. I love Nikita.
Yeah, so. I do too. Mm-hmm. 1991 is a really crappy year in WCW in general anyway.
Yeah. For Sting's sake, I could have replaced this with. And now this one's been collected before, but I love it so much. I wish I would see it again. The Super Bowl tag match with the Steiners when he teamed up with Lex Luger. And
well,
I've never seen the match where he won the U.S. championship, so I don't know if that's the Nikita Koloff match. So if it is, that'd be cool.
I am absolutely geeked for this next one. We'll try and pick up the pace a little bit here. Sting and Muda as a team 3 years after feuding versus the Steiners January 4th, 1992 from the WCW New Japan Super Show. I am super stoked for this one. John, this one's right up your alley.
Absolutely. I've never seen it. So this is what's going to sell me the DVD.
There was a guy who had all three, because I think there's three of them, I think 93, 91, 92, 93, something like that. All three shows were on YouTube. Some guy had them, and that guy got kicked off for the usual copyrights.
Those shows were long lost.
Yeah. I don't think they're on.
No.
I don't think they're on the network. Are they on the network?
No. They're not.
No.
The Japan Super Shows are not on there.
That sucks.
There's also the 95 show. I think it was Collision.
Oh, Collision in Korea?
With 100 something.
750 zillion people at? Yeah.
That was cool just for the visual of the crowd.
Yeah. Glenn, this is definitely a reason for you to get this disc, this set. I've never seen this match.
Yeah, I've never really gotten the Steiners, and that might be from not seeing them in WCW.
Oh, you'll love them in the early 90s. They are submission suplex aces.
I'm not a fan of them in WWE, and JR is going to try it when we do our Raw viewings. He's trying to make me like them. I was never a big fan of them in WWF, but in WCW, I was fine with them. But
I think I might have this show on VHS somewhere.
It's got to
be it or not.
Crap, though, because they never get it.
The same show that's got Pillman and Liger.
Ooh. I thought Super Brawl had Pillman and Liger.
It did,
Liger was in like a six-man tag, if it's the show that I'm thinking of.
I thought, I think he's right, Reesh. I think the Pillman-Liger match is Super Brawl. Because okay. I think that's when they teamed up
at the Starrcade Lethal Lottery.
Yeah, I think that was the finals of the light heavyweight title tournament, right?
Okay.
I'd have to look. I think I might have this show on VHS still.
But spoiler alert, it's a great show.
It's a fantastic show.
Yeah, I'd give it a thumbs up for the match. Absolutely.
All right. This next match begins pretty much Sting's signature 90s feud, or one of Sting's signature 90s feud. A bounty match, Sting versus Van Vader. A WCW Worldwide, February 9th, 1992. This might be
he wasn't big yet.
Sting match. I think this might be the only Vader. It is. This is the only Vader match on this set.
Yes, it is.
Interesting. The white glove of doom or whatever the stupid.
Man, there's so many you could have gone with other than that. You could have gone with the Great American Bash, 92 loss, the King of Cable, Starrcade match, which to me is their best one, White Castle of Fear, Coal Miners Club. I mean, that's a great match. You know, they could have gone with so many others. But this was a storyline where they had a bounty on Sting from the Dangerous Alliance, and Vader took him out. So it does have a bit of a storyline to it. I got scared because I thought it said Sting versus Van Hammer.
Even better. Glenn, are you a Vader guy?
Vader's another guy, just like the Steiners, that I've only seen in WWF, which is pretty universally acknowledged as not his best work.
No, not at all. A couple of things here and there, but yeah, pretty much not at all. Okay, that might be an interesting one. This is probably one of my favorites. This is a different match. Oh, I'm sorry, I thought this was the other one.
I'm telling you, it's really weird listings.
WCW from the Saturday show, February 22nd, 92, Sting, Barry Windham, Steamboat, and Dustin Rhodes versus the Dangerous Alliance, Sans, Steve Austin, Rick Rude, Larry Zbysko, Arn Anderson, and Bobby Eaton. Big Dangerous Alliance guy.
Is this Clash of the Champions?
No, it would say Clash of the Champions, probably.
Okay, they did have a tag match at the Clash right before that was really great. But
yeah. When was the... when in 92 was the... Was that Beach Blast? When was the...
That was Wrestle War.
Wrestle War was the War Games.
Yeah, for the people not who don't know, Sting Squadron versus the Dangerous Alliance War Games is hands down the best WCW match of all time. By far. To me, it is.
I put it top five. It might be the best War... Well, it might be the best War Games match.
Yeah.
That might be tough to say, though. Where would you put it? Would you put it top three, John, for War Games matches? Is he there? See, Reese, you sucked all the oxygen out of him.
top three.
Oh, there you are.
No.
All right. So what I don't know if you heard me, John. I had asked we were talking about the Dangerous Alliance, because there's a Dangerous Alliance match with Sting, Wyndham, Steamboat, and Dustin Rhodes on this show. It's not the War Games match. It's another eight-man tag. Mm-hmm. We were talking about the War Games match from Wrestle War, which is maybe one of the five best WCW matches ever. Would you put that top three for War Games matches?
Oh, that match. I apologize. My audio was cutting in and out.
That's okay. Sometimes we wish Reese's would cut in and out. Go ahead.
That was me.
Yeah. Oh, that match. Absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely. That I possibly put that in number two behind the original Horseman ones.
That's true. Here's an interesting match. The next one, Sting versus DDP, WCW Saturday Night, June 13th, 1992.
1992.
That's a weird one.
No, that's just because it's DDP.
It's an odd match. What do you think of that one, Glenn?
There was a way better Sting in DDP match in like 97 or so. Yeah. 98. So,
Glenn, have you caught a lot of early DDP?
No early DDP. And 92 sounds really early for him.
Yeah.
He was fat.
I wouldn't say he was fat, but...
There was no yoga in his life yet. And no Kimberly. Well, no Kimberly was in his life, but no
we
yoga.
We have a breaking sports update, and Jordan Duncan's going to care about this. The Tigers have acquired Joaquin Soria.
Oh, wow. Okay.
From the Texas Rangers. Another closer that'll suck a dong in October.
Joaquin Phoenix plays baseball?
Yes, with that porn stash he had in that weird movie that he was in lately. All right.
Don't you ever make fun of the movie Her.
All right. Sting versus Barry Windham, WCW Saturday Night, February 6th, 1993. So within the span of a year, I thought Big Show and Lex Luger were the most face heel turns ever. I think Barry Windham was pretty close, too. That match, I imagine, is pretty good, too. I imagine that's because Barry Windham's always good.
Did Barry Windham already win the NWA title by that point?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, he won it like in 91, I think.
No, late 92, I think. He won it off of Muda, I think.
Okay.
Like, but I think
that's where he lost Luger at that crappy Bash show when Flair left and the whole Jim Hurd.
Because Flair won the belt off of Windham at Beach Blast 93, and then Flair dropped it to Rude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting one. We get to see one of our favorites here on Main Event. Sting versus Steve Austin, WCW Pro Wrestling, January 8th, 1994.
Oh, cool.
1994, of course, one of the best years in the history of WCW. Fantastic year. And you can listen to the two podcasts that Justin and I did with Will and Charles about WCW. Will and Charles, of course, from Wrestling with the Past.
That's because Hogan signed, right?
Yes, of course. And everybody could, because the only match we talked about was Hogan and Beefcake from Starrcade, because that, my friends, is a Starrcade main event.
But I don't think by this point in January Hogan had signed yet.
No. We're just talking about Hogan in general.
Yeah. Fucking Hogan.
Jesus.
Well, then if Hogan wasn't there yet, who cares?
Yeah, just smile. All right, a viewer's choice match. We go way far ahead here. Sting versus Flair again, third Sting Flair match. Nitro from November 6th, 1995.
I remember this match because they had a hotline to choose who it was.
Was it 1-800-909-9900?
Yeah, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan would fucking march across the screen while Mean Gene had all the wrestlers behind him and everybody saying, pick me to wrestle Flair. I'm almost sure this is the match. This was the week after Halloween Havoc when Flair turned on Sting for like the 30th time.
Are you telling me Hacksaw Jim Duggan could have been in this match and wasn't?
Exactly.
Who are these buffoons calling into this thing?
Me, I spent $75 that night making sure he didn't get in this match.
A box on you, Scott.
Scott, I'm going to find you the video and I'm going to put it on the podcast Facebook page of this of the tease to this match on Nitro, because it was you'll love it. It's all Hacksaw all the time.
That's funny. All right. Sting, this is good because I love this guy. Sting versus Arn Anderson, WCW Nitro, July 8th, 1996. So we're like on the eve of...
this was
I remember this match. This is the night after the NWO.
Yes, it was outdoors.
Yeah, it was at Universal or Disney, wherever the hell they shot from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this match. Good match.
It was in Roy Disney's driveway.
Arn Anderson was a great wrestler, but did you guys ever read Arn's book?
I did not read Arn's book. I've always wanted to.
It was no, don't. It was written in kayfabe.
Oh God!
Yeah,
is
so,
that as bad
so
as Brock's if he book? Mentioned, Brock's book if, was an unreadable pile of garbage. Yeah,
if he mentioned this Moolah. Match, he would say it was a hard-fought battle, but I squeaked out the victory against Sting that night, or something like that.
It's like the Horseman DVD. The Horseman DVD, he is full-blown kayfabe. And that's one thing. I like Horseman. I like kayfabe Horseman. I'm fine with that. But kayfabe life, I don't know. Sting and Macho Man Randy Savage versus the Nasty Boys, WCW Saturday Night, July 27th, 1996. Did anybody think that Sting's abilities slipped a bit post-NWO?
I blame the hair. As the hair grew, the talent went downward.
You think he had?
Well, the hair hadn't grown yet, but it was probably dark.
No, by this point, right after the NWO, Sting had a full-on mullet going on.
But I don't
remember this match very well. It was right before Hog Wild, maybe about 2 weeks before Hog Wild. So I don't have any memory of the match.
Thumbs down.
Is that for Risha's connection right now? Is that what you're?
It's for Risha. It's for his connection. It's for the Nasty Boys.
All right.
For Sting and a mullet.
All right.
Now, to kind of jump off topic for a second, can you guys just give me some general background? How much did Savage have left in the tank by the time he got to WCW?
Oh, he had enough. His tank didn't really hit E till probably 99. Yeah, 99. No, Savage still had a good 5-year run in WCW.
I don't want to get on the soapbox here, but this is what happened to me with Savage. He only picked his spots in WCW when he could have a good match, like when he had wrestled Flair. But he had a bit of a renaissance when he wrestled Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, that feud's great.
And he wanted to give Diamond Dallas Page the rub.
Mm. Yep, he put Page on the map.
Yeah, he did.
Definitely did.
All right, disc 3. We'll mow through these pretty quick. Sting becomes a free agent, October 21st, 1996. That's obviously not a match.
Classic.
Obviously, and I won't even... This is definitely a thumbs up because this has to be on there. As much as it was a booking disaster, and that's, of course, Flair, Sting and Hogan from Starrcade 97. You have to have it on there. Signature moment for Sting's career.
Do you really?
Even though it was booked. Well, I mean... John,
you know what you could have done? You could have had the rematch at Super Brawl.
Yeah, but the whole... If you skip the booking crap with Brett, and you had like everybody in the ring and Sting carried off after the, you know, it was
yeah,
really
just
like
do
the,
a highlight package.
That part's fine, but yeah, the rest of the booking of that's garbage. But anyway,
just do a highlight video of
one
it.
One of the worst booked matches in the history of wrestling.
This was the one shot, and maybe we'll talk about this on a future show. We need like some history topics. This was the one shot WCW had to put the WWF out of business. Their one shot.
Yep.
And they blew it. Period.
Correct.
I had people come over my house for Starrcade 97 for just like a viewing party, and word of mouth spread. I ended up with probably 30 to 40 people in my living room.
That's awesome.
Wanting to see this show. And everyone hated it.
Dr. G had 30 people in his
You know why they hated it? Because you had Chemical Brothers playing in the background.
I had 30 people in Dr. G's dorm for WrestleMania 9, and then the cable went. That was a very ornery.
That's probably good.
That's true too. All right, next, Sting and Luger versus Hogan and Savage, Nitro, February 16th, 1998.
These matches that we're about to hear, are terrible.
We're starting to get into my thumbs down territory.
Yeah. Sting versus Kevin Nash, Nitro, April 6th, 1998. Sting versus Scott Steiner, ugh, Thunder. Well, anything on Thunder is thumbs down. April 22nd, 1998. Sting and Nash versus Harlem Heat, Nitro, June 15th, 1998.
This
one's a dreadful one. Sting the Warrior. So we have a Blade Runner.
Hey, another Blade Runners match. I have seen one.
versus Brett and Hogan.
I will say, on YouTube, this is one of the most hit ones ever because it has all four of them in the same ring.
Yeah, versus Brett and Hogan, Nitro, October 12th, 98. Of course, not on pay-per-view because WCW sucks at life. Brett versus Sting, Nitro, October 19th, 98. So late 98, they had some decent matchups, just the matches.
Hey, there's one I've seen. Because that was on the Bret Hart DVD, right?
Sting Bret?
A pay-per-view.
Was it on the
Was it a pay-per-view match that was on his DVD?
No.
Maybe it was the Dungeon version.
Yeah, there's no... Yeah, the unreleased Dungeon. Do you have that one, Glenn? Are you talking about
I'm talking about the first Bret Hart DVD.
No, the only WCW match on the first Bret DVD
Benoit.
Was the Benoit match for the Owen tribute, I think. I don't think it was any other WCW match.
Okay, maybe it wasn't on there. I know I saw a Hart Sting match from WCW. Hmm. Might have just been on YouTube.
So you've seen three WCW matches, and that's one of the three.
Interesting.
I've probably seen more matches from Best of Nitro DVD.
Runaway from the Old Man.
I had 24/7. I watched a couple of Nitros, but
Runaway from Old Man Scott and his WWE tendencies, and come to the light.
All right, let's rip off the rest of these. Sting vs. Savage, Nitro, June 7th, 1999. It's probably medium.
That's voided out Gorgeous George Savage.
Savage was not very good at this point.
I'll tell you this, missed opportunity alert.
This is where Glenn Savage hit the wall, if you're talking about a spot. This is pretty much where Savage hit the wall.
Yeah, right? he was pretty terrible here.
Oh, God.
Booker versus – I don't remember this match. Booker versus Sting from Nitro for the world title, July 31st, 2000. I don't remember this match.
Is it on a pole?
No, I don't think so.
Is Beetlejuice involved?
Why are you still on?
Well, this is actually when Booker was peaking too.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I don't remember.
Would this be the new blood?
This was
Millionaire
this
Club?
Was yeah. This was about a couple weeks after Bash at the Beach.
Hmm. I'm trying to remember this match.
I remember this match. This was right around the time Goldberg was still a heel, and right before New Blood Rising, I think. I do remember this match. It was a solid match, but nothing great. I will say this, Scott. Can
oh,
I say
no. One? No. This had the Demon and Vampiro involved.
Oh,
the
okay.
Demon Kane?
Thumbs up.
The Demon
Not
Kane?
The Demon Kane. The Demon Vampiro.
I like Vampiro.
Vampiro!
Right. Here's our best 2 out of 3 falls. Sting versus Jeff Jarrett. WCW Thunder, September 13th, 2000. What did Mike Graham say about Jeff Jarrett on that roundtable? Oh, broke a bunch of guitars, never drew a dime. I have a feeling that's more. I have a soft spot for Jarrett. I have his four discs.
Jarrett and Sting had one of the dumbest matches ever in WCW. I think it was Halloween Havoc, where they had a bunch of Sting impersonators attack him like throughout the match. I don't know if anyone ever.
I thought that was kind of fun, actually.
Was that Halloween Havoc 2000?
Yeah, that was Halloween Havoc 2000. Or wait a minute, it was either Halloween Havoc 2000 or it was Fall Brawl.
Oh my God! Look at this dumpster fire. Sting, Booker, and Goldberg versus Jeff Jarrett and Chronic from Thunder, October 25th, 2000. Other than Justin, who the hell would want to watch that match? Good Lord.
Chronic.
all right, and finally, and then the last match, Sting versus Flair from the last Nitro, which makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, overall, JD, would you get this set?
I would love to find a way to get the first two discs and, break the third one in half. That third one looks pretty wretched.
Yeah. Johnny.
But yeah, the first two are pretty cool. Okay.
Johnny.
Yeah, I'll definitely get it just because of the strength of the first two discs.
Okay. Reesh?
Oh, I'll get it, but this is a B grade to me. I think they could have done better than this.
Okay. Glenn?
I'm not really a DVD buyer for wrestling. If it comes on the network eventually, or if I see it through entirely legal means... then, you know, I would surely be interested enough to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what, though?
Anderson, they won't put this on the network because they don't put comps.
Right. Well, Anderson said.
Well, I'm thinking like in a couple of years, maybe, you know,
maybe they'll put comps on eventually. Yeah. Maybe they'll put like one disc on it. Well, that's entirely possible.
But I think that's where they kind of did a good job is Andrew said they could have done better stuff. But a lot of that stuff is clashes and pay-per-views that you can get on the network. And a lot of this stuff is stuff that's not going to be on the network yet. In the first two discs. That's where I think they were kind of smart.
Yeah.
Even though it may not be his best stuff, it's stuff that you can't go on the network to see.
Yeah, but my one problem with that is that you could have done that as a volume 2, and you could have made a definitive collection for Sting. And that's why I think the opportunity was missed a little bit for me. I would have seen more Vader. I would have put in his match with Diamond Dallas Page when he won the title on Nitro in 99.
I think they've covered most. You know what, though, Reesh?
Oh, they have.
They've definitely covered most Vader matches on other sets.
Oh yeah, they've gotten all of them, I think, with the exception of White Castle of Fear. I think that's the only one I haven't seen.
White Castle of Fear.
But it's
the battle for the chicken rings.
White Castle of Fear. I'm gonna tell you, man, the '93 mini movies are.
That midget.
If people hate them, then something's wrong with them because they're great. They're hilarious.
What was the midget's name? Cheatham.
Chester.
No, Shark.
I thought it was Cheatham the midget.
Didn't one of them come out of the water and say, "My name is Shark"?
That was John Denta.
Glenn, they do this on purpose because they know I hate midgets.
John Denta's not a midget.
All right.
Hey, if you read any of my stuff in the High Spot, you know I'm all about Hornswoggle, so I'm on their side.
They're all about Leper, that Leprechaun movie. They pimped the crap. Didn't they do a trailer for that on at Battleground?
I think it looks kind of good.
I like the original Leprechaun.
I don't know if it was on Battleground, but the trailer did come out about a couple weeks ago.
Interesting.
It's rated R. Isn't it R-rated?
Oh, might be.
I don't know.
It better be all the left.
In the trailer, they don't even show him. They don't show him at all.
Every time I think of that, I think of the Wayne's World joke where he goes, "I'm the leprechaun."
All right, it's time to go.
Yeah, it is. We're done. All right, guys, pleasure as always. Fun show. Glenn, thank you for joining us on your debut performance. And I know after being on with Reese, you'll never come on again. So thanks for being with us. The Andrew Reese?
Thumbs down.
Glenn, it's been a pleasure. Has this been the main event?
Well, there is only one. If Reese was on any other show, well, he is on more shows. Damn it. Glenn, pleasure as always. Thank you. Thank you. Johnny, you almost dumped out of us there before we got a chance to say goodbye.
I know. I keep having audio problems.
I know. That's all right, though. You were awesome. Thank you for joining us on short notice.
That's like not you. Me pulling the wires.
Pleasure as always. No, you're the one with the crappy internet, remember? Yeah. Reese, thank you. You're always on. JD, thank you. Pleasure as always. We'll be back in a couple weeks. Probably do the full core four. We're going to be in like a weird week because we're not totally into SummerSlam yet. So we'll talk about something. I'm sure we'll talk about Raws. I'm sure the card will be stacked a little bit at that point. Remember, listen to PlayStimulation.com and the network. Plenty of shows. And if you want to listen to more Andrew Reese, and if you do, you need your head examined. But he'll be joining me and Dr. G on the next episode of The Extra Point to talk NBA free agency. I'm not sure who else we'll have on. And we'll be back in 2 weeks with the Core Four to talk more modern-day wrestling. So, for Jordan Duncan, Glenn Butler, Johnny Reckless, and that other guy, I'm Scott Criscolo. Glenn, you've been in the main event, and you'll be back. Enjoy 2 weeks.
Hey, what about this? If John Cena wrestles the Black Scorpion at SummerSlam, the Black Scorpion wins, and it's CM Punk.
JD, tell
me. The John Cena?
JD, say it.
Shut up, Reese.